ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. What a show. What a show we have for you today, folks. The news is off the charts. The videos are powerful. Josh Hammer's making a fool out of himself, and we're going to help. We got a lot of controversial things to cover today, folks. You're not going to want to miss this episode, and I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls probably in the last hour, maybe before, but like I said, a lot of videos to get to. I could fill up this whole first hour just with videos from J.D. Vance and his appearance at Ole Miss yesterday. I'm not going to do that, but I could. It would be a very entertaining hour. But I'll be judicious. I'll have to choose just the most powerful clips. But stay with us because we got a lot to get into. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks. Your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 30th of October, 2025. Today is the 30th of October, which means tomorrow's Halloween. Day after that, November 1st. The deadline. SNAP benefits update. This is the headline in Newsweek. Emergency declared as judge considers Trump funding move. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has declared a state of emergency Thursday after federal funding shortfalls threatened Supplemental Neutral Assistant Program, SNAP, for millions of residents. Hochul posted on X, the Trump administration would rather starve children and families than lift a finger to help them put food on the table. I'm declaring a state of emergency to use every tool we have to help the 3 million New Yorkers losing food assistance because of the GOP shutdown. So yes, folks, it is a state of emergency. Not, I would say, not because the SNAP benefits are being withdrawn, but because 40% of our country is indigent. That is, in fact, the emergency. I think we need a national emergency to eliminate SNAP entirely forever. But that's just me. We'll get more into that later. Meanwhile, Trump announces U.S. will resume nuclear weapon testing after China became defiant on denuclearization. On Wednesday evening, President Trump announced the United States will resume nuclear weapons testing. Currently, the U.S. is banned from conducting all but underground nuclear weapons testing under the 1963 Limited Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. A 1996 Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty would also ban underground testing, although it's not entered into force. China has recently become belligerent on the topic of denuclearization. Trump's statement comes just hours before he was set to meet with the country's leader, Xi Jinping. So this was sort of a random, unexpected move from Trump, and a lot of people are trying to figure out whether it's even legal or not for us to restart the nuclear testing program. Clearly, I think this was a very sort of overt sign and signal to China ahead of their meeting, but the meeting went well. Trump had a, quote, amazing meeting of great success with the Chinese leader. On Thursday, President Donald Trump met with Chinese leader Xi Jinping in South Korea, where the two discussed trade and commerce. Trump told reporters that they both have come to an agreement on almost everything, and he was able to make a number of key deals. That's how it's being reported. I weirdly have a source kind of close to the situation. He's actually in contact with some of the Chinese delegation, and they're not very impressed by Trump or his team. Let's just say that. I'll get more into that later as well. Meanwhile, key details emerge in Louvre jewel heist as five more are arrested, bringing the total number of arrested suspects to seven, but still not a single of the gems or jewels have been found. $100 million still out there somewhere. The dragnet tightened around the Louvre on Thursday. Five more people were seized in the crown jewels heist, including a suspect tied by DNA. The Paris prosecutor said, widening the sweep across the capital and its suburbs. Authorities said three of the four alleged members of the commando team, as French media have dubbed the robbers, are now in custody. That's good to see. Hopefully they'll return the crown jewels and France will kick them all out of their country. But a man can dream. Finally, Senate GOP and Democrats working on shutdown off-ramp this week, with the government shutdown firmly in its fourth week and SNAP beneficiaries threatening cannibalism. See below. Senate Republicans and Democrats are working behind the scenes on a proposal to reopen the government next week, with centrist Democrats arguing behind the scenes that their party has successfully highlighted soaring health care costs. And again, we'll get into this probably right off the bat. We'll talk about what's happening with the shutdown, who's to blame for it, why it's the Democrats' fault, as always, and why Democrats, their constituents, are actually realizing this and turning on them, because they really are desperate, and every move they make just digs the hole even deeper for them. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice. his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on x.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Hope you're following us on X at Infowars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Get the Alex Jones app. Somebody today in the office was saying, I hope you're going to bring the sanity today. Things have been a little off the rails today. My response to that, don't count on it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's all insane. It's all completely insane. I'm, in fact, bringing and hopefully upping the insanity as we get into all of the things going on around the world. Let's start with J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance did a Turning Point USA appearance yesterday where he, in the mode of Charlie Kirk, took questions from the audience. Many of the questions were the same topics that Charlie was being asked towards the end of his life. Questions about Israel, questions about immigration, and J.D. Vance took them all. Didn't insult any of them, didn't call any of them names, respectfully responded to every question with a reasonable and, as far as I can tell, truthful answer, which is really spectacular. And I know about the suspicions of J.D. Vance. I, too, am not entirely comfortable with the path that he took to prominence. Seemed like a well-greased path, we could say. Things were set up for him a little bit. In a way that, you know, I think we all know. If you don't know, basically, if you track back J.D. Vance's history, he got a lot of help from Peter Thiel early on. That help with Peter Thiel continued until basically he was set up to become the vice president. And that would hint or perhaps might be evidence that he's in the pocket of somebody like Peter Thiel. So I'm suspicious of that as well, and I don't discredit those claims. However, I can't think of a single thing I haven't liked about him since he became vice president. I can't think of a single thing in the last 10 months that I can point to as a disappointment from J.D. Vance. And it's not only that he says the right things, he's sometimes the only person saying those things. In the case of the Young Republicans and the faux outrage about the group chat leak, J.D. Vance was like the only prominent Republican to come out immediately and forcefully saying, we're not falling for this. We're not going to condemn our own side. Let's move on. Nobody else did, and he didn't have to do that. So I like J.D. Vance. I like him, and the more I know about him, the more I like him. And he seems very honest. He seems very upfront, and he answers these questions very well. Very well. Let's go. I guess we'll start with clip number 5 here. I have like literally 20 clips of Vance from last night, so we can't go to all of them. But let's start with one of the more, you know, viral ones. Clip number 5. Here is J.D. Vance being asked about Israel and the Trump administration's relationship to that country. Let's watch.
Israel, sometimes they have similar interests to the United States, and we're going to work with them in that case. Sometimes they don't have similar interests to the United States. And this example, the most recent Gaza peace plan that all of us have been working on very hard for the past few weeks, the president of the United States could only get that peace deal done by actually being willing to apply leverage to the state of Israel. So when people say that Israel is somehow manipulating or controlling the president of the United States, they're not controlling this president of the United States, which is one of the reasons why we'd be able to have some of the success that we've had in the Middle East. Now, you ask about, you know, sort of Jews disagreeing with Christians on certain religious ideas. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the realities is that Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Obviously, Christians do believe that. There are some significant theological disagreements between Christians and Jews. My attitude is, let's have those conversations. Let's have those disagreements when we have them. But if there are shared areas of interest, we ought to be willing to do that too. For example, one thing I really care about is the preservation of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Christians believe that that is the site where Jesus Christ was crucified, and also that his tomb is right there as well. My attitude is, if we can work with our friends in Israel to make sure that Christians have safe access to that site, that's an obvious area of common interest. I am fine with that. What I'm not okay with is any country coming before the interests of American citizens, and it is important for all of us, assuming we're American citizens, to put the interest of our own country first. That's what we're going to do. That's what we try to do every single day, I promise you. Thank you.
So again, a very good answer, and to go in reverse order, sort of. The last thing he said, I got to admit, I wasn't the biggest fan of. So J.D. Vance goes to Israel. Of course, he does the Wailing Wall photo op. That is a requirement, I guess. And in addition to that, he goes to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is where Jesus' body laid and where there are miracles every Easter. You should look into the miracle of holy fire. It's really an incredible thing that people capture on video every single year. It's the holiest of holy sites in Christianity. And I loved that. I loved seeing him go and paying respects to Christian heritage. And he can go to the Wailing Wall if he has to, but you should at least go to some Christian sites at the same time. After all, the Wailing Wall is not just not a Christian site, is it an anti-Christian site? People don't know this. That wall is not the wall of the Second Temple. That wall is a Roman wall. They know this absolutely because in deconstructing and doing archaeology on the wall, they found Roman coins from long after the fall of the Second Temple under the lowest level of stones in the wall. So before the wall was there, Romans were in control, the temple was destroyed, and then the Romans built this wall. The reason why they say it is a wall of the Second Temple is because Jesus prophesied that no stone would stand on top of another when the Second Temple was destroyed. So if a wall still exists, that means Jesus was wrong. So when you go to the Wailing Wall, you're not just paying homage to like Christian heritage, you're actually submitting yourself to an anti-Christian ceremony where you're basically, you know, contributing to the lie that Jesus was wrong and that the temple never really fell in the way that he said it would. So just to be clear, I like that he went to the sepulcher. Then I see people like Nick Fuentes say, you know, don't be an idiot. He's going to the sepulcher just to throw you a bone to make you think he's on your side, but this is just obvious gamesmanship. It's just like, okay, we've gone too far. Well, then, you know, here, throw them a bone to make them think that we're actually on their side. I didn't think that was the case. But then to hear J.D. Vance say that the reason he went to the sepulcher was to celebrate how our relationship with Israel helps protect those sites. And I'm like, okay, is that what it was about? You went to the Holy Sepulcher to talk about how Israel is in charge of taking care of it? I mean, sure, for the last 70, 80 years or so, but for the 2000 previous to that, it was okay, wasn't it? Of course, it was actually destroyed at one point, but that's another story. But going, you know, back to the beginning of his answer, J.D. Vance likes to signal to us. We've been through this before, but J.D. Vance carefully picks his words. He knows what he's insinuating, and he does it on purpose. I genuinely believe that. So what he's saying in a very political way, when somebody's asked, is Trump controlled by Israel? He says, well, why don't you take a look at the Gaza deal? You know, this was an instance where we had to use leverage against Israel. Like the way he phrased it, you didn't quite get the idea. What he's saying to us is Israel didn't want this. If we were controlled, this peace deal wouldn't have happened. We forced Israel into this by using our leverage. Whatever that leverage is, I don't know. But clearly signaling to everybody, and he doesn't say it outright, there are political considerations, but he basically says, no, we're not controlled. And then he says, in terms of American presidents, this one's not controlled by Israel. What would the insinuation of that be? That the other ones are. These are signals he's sending to us. I believe that. Because I also see people calling this out from the Zionist side and going, what does he mean when he says this president isn't controlled by Israel? I guess he's saying the other ones are. It's like, yes, yes, that is what he's saying. And he's highlighting the difference between Trump and everybody else. So, yes, you figured it out. Congratulations. So that was just one. And there were a lot of questions about the about Israel to Vance, but I think there's some others that are even more interesting. Let's go to clip. Oh, man, there's so many good ones. Let's go to clip 11. Since we're on the topic of Christianity, here is Vance talking about the place of Christianity in America.
Say, I'm thrilled to hear you articulate Christian values on a stage like this and to remind us that we things we take for granted and things we value so much have a Christian origin. So thank you for that. I really mean that. However,
so much of liberalism, by the way, so much of the far left is a sort of, if you really pay attention to it, it's a kind of perverted version of Christianity. Like, there's nothing wrong, of course, with focusing on people who are disenfranchised, for example. That's the focus of liberalism. But if you completely separate it from any religious duty, any civic virtue, then that can actually become, for example, an inducement to lawlessness. You can't just have compassion for the criminal. You also have to have justice, too, which is why I think that a properly rooted Christian moral order is such an important part of the future of our country. But sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No.
He's dead on. He's exactly right. Again, say what you want about Vance. Question his backing or, you know, his real motives. I think you're perfectly, I think it's a responsible thing to do that. But he just, how can I not like somebody that sounds so much like me? It's like he's, it's like we share a brain. It's crazy. And in fact, clip number 8 here is the case that I've been making this entire administration. Here's J.D. Vance making it, saying basically this whole, oh, we can't do that because the left might do it to us when they're back in power. It's complete nonsense. They're going to do it anyway. We have to do it first. Here's J.D. Vance making that argument. Clip number 8.
Okay. So here's something that I want conservatives, I want every conservative to remember. It's an important part of my entire political philosophy is we cannot be afraid to do something because the left might do it in the future. The left is already going to do it regardless of whether we do it. That is the takeaway of the last 40 years. And in particular, if you look at what we're doing, if Joe Biden wanted to deploy the national.
So, yeah, he's exactly right. I mean, they're going to do it. They already have done it. That's maybe the craziest thing we talk about this is if it's speculative. No, they already did. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. It's called Arctic Frost. And it's all being exposed right now. And that's just the latest of the innumerable examples of leftist absolute abject tyranny that we've been subject to. So at least J.D. Vance gets where we are in the, you know, in this feedback loop, the back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. When they set the precedent, you must accept that precedent and rise to meet it. That's the new rules of the game. Vance seems to get that. Vance also was asked about Palantir. So he was given this directly, which, again, kudos to TPUSA. Kudos to J.D. Vance for taking these questions, for not censoring what people were allowed to ask at the microphone. This is what the left and the Zionist right fear. Everything right now going on with Josh Hammer and Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, it has nothing to do with being open to everybody. It has to do with silencing dissent. It has to do with silencing questions. And we'll get into it later because the Dutch election that just occurred, the sort of extreme right, the far right party that's currently in power, people thought we're just going to, like, even, you know, gain their raise their power even more, get even more seats, be able to carry out even more deportations. They were looking like they were going in that direction, and they should, except that the far right party in the Netherlands, surprise, surprise, is deeply pro-Zionist. And so they actually lost seats in the election because young people don't like that. And so they don't vote for it. So it's like all over the world, these right wing parties all over America and Europe, these right-wing parties are committing suicide, seriously disabling themselves for the sake of Israel because young people don't like it and don't want to vote for somebody who's going to sell their country out to this foreign genocidal state. So you need to come to terms with that. And the Republican Party is not going to survive if we tie ourselves resolutely to Israel. It is a suicidal idea right now, and it is just, you know, electoral genius to separate yourself from Israel, because even people that don't like anything else about you feel strongly enough about this topic that they'll vote for you on that subject alone. But all that is to say that the problem that the right wing has all over the world is that they have completely ignored, sidestepped, or silenced the objections of young people, and they still are doing it. They have forever, and they're still doing it. And whether it's economic concerns that are completely valid from Gen Z and beyond, they're told by the boomers, shut up. I bought a car for $3,000 when I was your age. Why can't you? Because we're not in the same world, old man. Like, you need to not discredit these claims. These people are explaining what the world is really like for them, and you're telling them to shut up. So what do you think they're going to do? You just say, okay, I'll keep voting for you. Okay, I'll just shut up and suffer. Yes, sir, keep voting for you. No, they're going to go to whoever tells them that they have an answer. And if the only people suggesting an answer are the communists and socialists, who do you think they're going to go for? So whether it's Israel or whether it's economic concerns, stop telling people to shut up. Stop silencing them. Stop ignoring them. Stop discrediting their very valid beliefs. Listen to them. Debate with them if you have to, if you disagree with them, or accept what they're saying as the truth and actually try to help them. It's not all that complicated. It's just we have a bunch of scumbag subversives trying to benefit Israel by destroying the Republican Party and by extension the United States. These people are civilizational terrorists. But let's move on. J.D. Vance was asked about, did I already play the Palantir one? Let's talk about Palantir. Clip number 9 here. Vance drops a bombshell saying he does not support what Palantir is doing, but then he kind of defends him. Let's watch the clip number 9.
Hello, Vice President Vance.
How you doing?
Good. I have a question. Do you condone large private corporations such as Palantir hoarding data caches on U.S. citizens?
No, I don't condone it. And here's the thing. So I get asked about Palantir a lot because there's this internet meme out there that somehow I am super in bed with Palantir. And here's the thing that I'd say about this. Palantir is a private company. They sometimes do a useful service, and sometimes they're going to do things that we don't like. You should be demanding that your representatives do two things when it comes to Palantir or when it comes to any other technology company. Number one, protecting your data. What's going on with artificial intelligence is going to mean that there are massive inducements to steal your data, to harvest it, and to use it against you to sell digital advertisements. That is not what I believe in, and I've been fighting against it, whether it's Palantir or any other technology company, literally before I ran for office. When I ran for office, I was criticized by Republicans in my Republican Senate primary because I was talking then about Google and Facebook harvesting our data. It's unacceptable. I don't care who does it. I don't want them to do it. Number two, and this is also very important. What's going on with artificial intelligence, we got to be worried about large-scale surveillance, okay? Everything. When you asked about Palantir, do you know that every time you make a credit card transaction, the credit card companies are collecting data on how you spend your money? Do you know that every time you linger over a link on the internet for more than a half second, the search engines are collecting data on you so that they can sell you advertisements? One of the biggest questions for American policy over the next 10 years is how to ensure that you are a sovereign citizen. And you cannot be a sovereign citizen if any private corporation or any government can steal something from you that belongs to you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dead on. He's exactly right. How Lord of the Rings shaped J.D. Vance's politics. A lot of my conservative worldview was influenced by Tolkien. You know, maybe I'm being played for a fool. Maybe he's just seducing me when really it's all a lie. I can't believe that if I don't have evidence for it. And so far, again, he's really good on everything. Let's go to clip number 6 here, where he's asked about immigration, not just illegal immigration. Here it is.
I understand your view on illegal immigration is it should be a top priority, strengthening our southern borders and fighting the massive drug trafficking that's taken place while securing jobs for the working class Americans. Also, deporting every single person who's invaded our country illegally, which I 100% agree on. My question to you is, what is your view on legal immigration? Personally, I have a girlfriend who's studying in America off a visa. Our hope is eventually getting a green card. So what is your view on legal immigration? Should we reduce it? Also, what is your plan for a merit-based system?
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate the question. And look, my honest view is that right now, America, thanks in part to the Biden border invasion, but also thanks in part to a lot of bad immigration policy, right now, we have let in too many immigrants into the United States of America. That is just a fundamental reality.
So he says basically he doesn't want legal immigration either. Now, I think it was that response that inspired the next question, which is an immigrant herself asking J.D. Vance whether immigrants were sold a dream if now we're saying we don't want them. Clip 17.
When you talk about too many immigrants here, when did you guys decide that number? Why did you sell us a dream? You made us spend our youth, our wealth in this country and gave us a dream. You don't owe us anything. We have worked hard for it. Then how can you, as a vice president, stand there and say that we have too many of them now and we are going to take them out to people who are here rightfully so by paying the money that you guys asked us? You gave us the path, and now how can you stop it and tell us we don't belong here anymore?
I can believe that the United States should lower its levels of immigration in the future while also respecting that there are people who have come here through lawful immigration pathways that have contributed to the country. But just because one person or 10 people or 100 people came in legally and contributed to the United States of America, does that mean that we're thereby committed to let in a million or 10 million or 100 million people a year in the future? No, that's not right. We cannot have, I'll go and finish. We cannot have an immigration policy where what was good for the country 50 or 60 years ago binds the country inevitably for the future. There's too many people who want to come to the United States of America, and my job as vice president is not to look out for the interests of the whole world. It's to look out for the people of the United States. Now,
and he gets drowned out with cheers because, as always, the great signifier of the Trump campaign has always been nationalism versus globalism. And what J.D. Vance just laid out right there is the distinction. Are you the president for the whole world? Is it your responsibility as vice president of the United States to look out for what's best for someone from Botswana or Mozambique or Guadalajara? No, absolutely not. Your job is to work for the American people. And other people can benefit from our greatness, you know, with whatever's left over. But you're supposed to prioritize America because that's your nation. In the same way that as a father, you're supposed to prioritize your family because that's your family. That's the argument. This is the divide. And this is what I love about J.D. Vance is he understands that. We'll be back on the other side. We'll move on. We'll talk about what's going on with Project Arctic Frost and the new revelations there. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the Ultramethylene Red. I took 3 droppers about 2 minutes before the show, and I am genuinely feeling it. I've got, like, goosebumps. You know when you have, like, a ton of energy and you're just sort of vibrating? That's sort of how I am. And I only did 3. You're supposed to take 4. I'm not even ready to take 4 of Ultramethylene Red. Maybe you are. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get it today. 50% off if you sign up for the monthly delivery.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago. And off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes, it's all on purpose, they hate America, they're Satanists, they want to bring us down, it's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth, and when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots, oh, they don't know what they're doing, oh, they're so incompetent, yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and LA anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hellhole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. What do we go to now? Let's, you know, since J.D. Vance was taking a lot of questions about immigration, let's talk about immigration. I do want to get into Arctic Frost, and there is plenty there to get to, but I got some really fantastic videos to get to before I go to that. So let's start with Tom Homan. Tom Homan, clip number 20, is stepping up the drive for deportations. We have word that Stephen Miller is sort of cracking the whip. Last week, basically, they looked at the deportation numbers, decided they weren't nearly high enough, and are doubling down their efforts to get enough people out in a short enough amount of time. Again, I think the best way to do this is a combined method where you're going after the worst of the worst. You're also offering free flights home and threatening people with like a couple years of hard labor if they refuse the offer. I think that would be a very easy, simple, and effective method. But here's Tom Homan on how they're stepping up deportations across the country.
In any way accurate, Tom?
Look, we're all being aggressive. I've said from day one we're going to concentrate on public safety threats and national security threats. But if you're in the country legally, you're not off the table, we'll arrest you too. So the number speaks for themselves, Laura. most secure border in history of this nation. Over 23,000 missing kids have been found and saved. And we have a record number of arrests and deportation. We're going to hit 600,000 real soon, which will be a historic record. And we're going to keep going. As we get more agents on, you're going to see arrests increase twice, three times. You're going to see the numbers skyrocket.
It's good to hear because we got a lot of making up to do. I mean, if you really want the actual numbers, we should be releasing the same amount that we were letting in. If we just want to get back to zero, if we just want to start at zero of where we were in 2020 when Biden rigged the election and took office, then we need to be deporting like at least 10,000 a day. And we're nowhere near that number. So let's get a move on. Let's get going. Now they are arresting the right people. I think they're arresting a lot of the right people. Here's Kristi Noem. This is clip number 21, head of DHS, talking about some of the dangerous drivers that they've taken off the streets because they were illegals with illegally obtained commercial driver's licenses that have become a menace on American highways because, I think I've explained this before, they figured out during COVID that truckers are like the last remaining well-paid manual labor job filled mostly by white men. So then they engaged in a systematic effort to replace all of those white men with Indians, basically. Even if they didn't know how to drive or had never driven a truck before, they'd rather have them on the road than you, because if it's a white truck driver, that means it's a white man with a well-paying job and a pension and, an ability to maintain his lifestyle and perhaps even participate in political action if the need calls for it, like they did in Canada. It was the Canadian truck protest that immediately after you saw this massive shift in the trucking industry where they brought in migrants to pilot their trucks. Not a coincidence. Clip 21, let's go.
Now, through our 287G partnership that we have with the state of Indiana, we have run an operation recently which has allowed to hundreds of arrests that has brought people in that are breaking our laws. Through that partnership, 223 illegal aliens have been arrested and taken off of our roads. Of those, 146 of them were drivers. That includes 46 semi-truck drivers and another 82 of them that were either box trucks, buses, moving vans, vehicles such as that. The CDLs that were issued to those individuals were issued from over a dozen different states. Many of those individuals could have been licensed in a state somewhere and received their CDL in another state. But overwhelmingly, these individuals have come from sanctuary states such as California and Illinois and New York. If you are here driving on our streets illegally and our highways, you are endangering our citizens and your days are numbered. I want to thank Secretary Sean Duffy from the Department of Transportation for all of his work, too. You've seen him focus on the effort to get these individuals off of our streets, and I want to thank him for doing that and implementing new policies and regulations that will keep our citizens safe.
So there you go. Homeland Security cracks down on undocumented truck drivers, probably saving innumerable lives in the process. We'll never even know how many people will continue to live because they're not being crushed by an 18-wheeler driven by some dude who doesn't even speak English and doesn't bother to read road signs. Let's go to clip 29 here. Again, this is, these are the actual numbers. 223 illegal aliens have been arrested, taken off the roads. 146 were drivers, 46 semi-trucks, and 82 that were either box trucks, buses, moving vans, or vehicles such as that. So, again, good start. A couple million more to go. Let's go to clip number 29 here. This was a video put out by the Department of Labor showing real positive developments in exactly what I was talking about last segment, addressing the very legitimate concerns of young people in this country who have seen their future stolen from them. It's time to direct that ire, direct that anxiety where it belongs, the people who deliberately made it this way. Let's watch.
For generations, we've told Americans that if they work hard enough, they can achieve the American dream. But many young Americans have had this dream stolen from them. Their jobs were replaced by foreign workers as politicians and bureaucrats allowed companies to abuse the H-1B visa. But now, President Trump is delivering a new opportunity for young Americans through Project Firewall. taking action to hold companies accountable for H-1B abuse and ensure they prioritize Americans in the hiring process, recapturing the American dream for the American people.
So there you go. That is the argument that people need to make. And again, I don't understand why this is so hard to get Republicans on board with. You've got all these young people out there, again, legitimate concerns. They did everything right. They did everything they were told to. They went out, they got a degree and a career that's supposed to pay well, and then they're being forced to compete with 10 million Indians. They never get a job. They'll never own a house. They'll never feel secure enough to get married or have children. This is a major problem. And instead of saying, shut up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, what are you, a socialist? How about instead you say, why can't you buy a house? Because they don't want you to buy a house. Because BlackRock is systematically buying up neighborhoods so they can rent a house to you at the same price you could have bought it for, but they want you to rent forever. Why can't you get a job? Because they're bringing in scabs from around the world to undercut your wages. All these problems, they're not random. They're not an accident. They're not because we've become more conservative or more nationalistic. It's the exact opposite. The reason that the economy doesn't work for young people is because it's been deliberately designed to not work for young people. And everything that you've experienced in the last 20 years has been in fulfillment of that design. The reason you'll never be able to afford a house is because they don't want you to afford a house, because a house is ownership. Property makes you free. They want to enslave you. They want you constantly paying in this paradigm of the company store so that you're never out of debt. You're never able to pay off, you know, what you owe. And basically everybody will be born with nothing and have to build up and not be able to pass anything on. It's about destroying humanity as we know it and destroying intergenerational wealth, because that's what allows people to build themselves up out of poverty. If everybody has to start over at zero again, there's no point of even trying to get ahead. So if you want these people who have, again, just absolutely valid and legitimate concerns about the state of the economy, you don't tell them to shut up. You don't tell them to pull themselves up by your bootstraps. And you certainly don't drive them to the socialists and communists by insulting them in that way. You explain the actual process that has brought us to this point. It's a process of globalization. It's a process of replacement migration. It's a process of financial abuse by the big banks, who want everybody suffering under a truckload of debt that they'll never be able to escape from and always be working to pay off the thing that they were forced to borrow in the first place. Explain that to people, come up with a plan, or at least lay out the strategy of defeating that process and building a new process that actually works for the Americans, and the young people will flock over to you. Is this a complicated concept? Apparently it is, because the Republicans haven't understood this for the last 20 years, and I don't have any hope that they're getting any closer now. But again, on the topic of immigration, former Media Matters activist, current Dem congressional candidate Kat Abougoug, indicted by feds for a violent ICE protest in Chicago suburb. She made a video complaining about this and lying about it as well. Let's go to clip number 8, and I'll probably pull this out after a few seconds because she's just lying. I'll tell you the truth on the other side. Let's watch.
My name is Kat Abougoug. I'm running for Congress in the 9th District of Illinois, and the Department of Justice is charging 6 people, including myself, with federal crimes for exercising our First Amendment rights near ICE's Broadview Processing Center. This is a political prosecution.
Oh my gosh. She was simply expressing her First Amendment right near a processing center, and they arrested her for that? Oh my God. If only we had video of this, we could see what it was really all about. I mean, I forgot to bring in the video. We do have the video if we want to go find it in the archives. It was probably a month ago. We could find the date. And we had the video then. You know, she's literally blocking an ICE vehicle. And this was, I'm pretty sure it was literally 1 or 2 days after an insane leftist opened fire on an ICE facility and ended up killing some of the people they'd arrested. She's out. There's the image of it. Standing in front of a car, blocking a car, while a crowd surrounds it. Somebody in that crowd, by the way, had a gun and had been making threats to ICE. And here this ICE vehicle is expected to stop. Just like an open target. Yeah, here's the video. I was expressing my First Amendment right vaguely close to the geographic proximity of an ICE facility, and they're arresting me. What? Cut to her just standing in front of an ICE vehicle, trying to block it, trying to create a problem, putting the ICE agents in a very dangerous position, and really making it dangerous for everybody there, because ICE should not be obligated to sit there like sitting ducks when you have gunmen seeking their murder in the crowd. you absolute moron. She should go to jail. I think she faces something like 10 years in prison because she's being charged with, you know, interfering with the lawful duties of a federal agent. Good. Send her away. Hey, well, you know, stop breaking laws. Hey, there's my advice. There's my advice. Don't want to get arrested? Don't break the law. Pretty damn simple, actually. If you want to protest, go protest. If you want to obstruct ICE officers, you're going to go to jail, lady. I don't know if you believe the Democrats' lies that what you were doing was somehow above reproach. And sure, the laws are against it, but who cares? We're on the right side of history. I don't know what lies you bought into, lady, but somebody convinced you to break the law on their behalf, and now you're going to pay the price for it. So everybody else should learn that lesson. Everybody else needs to understand that you can't break the law with impunity under a Trump administration. You can learn that lesson now, or you can learn it with 10 years in prison. I suggest you learn it now. I got one more thing about immigration. It's clip 41 from the Gateway Pundit. Social media uproar ensues as footage emerges showing Marxist Muslim candidate for Minneapolis mayor pledging loyalty to Somalia in a foreign language while waving his national flag. Let's go to the video. Let's watch... what's his name? Omar Fatah. Commit treason right out in the open. Let's watch. There he is, waving the Somali flag.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Somalia. Somalia. Hiran State. Ma'awisle. Ma'awisle. Early voting wa hadda illa November 4. I need your vote. Wani de Bahanahai. Wani de Bahanahai. I need you. Hadan Utkina, hello. We're going to win.
Okay, so, I mean, it's just, do we not understand what's happening here? The people of Minneapolis, if this guy wins, are about to be straight up under the authority of a foreigner. You have now been conquered officially. Somebody that does, you know, is speaking in a different language than you, waving another country's flag, is now going to have authority over you. And that's not even to mention the way that he looks. I'm trying to avoid that topic, but my God, it's hard. I want to draw him. I want to draw his face, but I would be arrested. It would be a hate crime for me to draw his face. How can this guy have so much support? Oh, right. Sorry. Because they imported a city's worth of so-called refugees from the worst country in the world. And now they get to decide who rules over Americans in Minneapolis. And they're choosing somebody that isn't even speaking English in his campaign speeches. Well, we just witnessed in any time period of human history for 50,000 years, up until about 20 years ago, this not only would have been an excuse to immediately denaturalize and deport him, no questions asked, but to frankly go to war with him, anybody who supports him, and maybe the country of Somalia. How dare you bring another country's flag and wave it as you run for a position in America? And again, to speak a different language that only your fellow countrymen speak while you're running for the mayoral contest of a major American city. We need control of our country again. Americans need control of our country again. And frankly, I mean, it's going to be a difficult thing to do because the problem is they've brought in so many millions of people who will vote for scumbags like this, scumbag foreigner traitors like this. We're not going to be able to vote our way out of it. How are you going to outvote a monolithic block constituency that's been deliberately plopped in your congressional district or in your city to vote for their own people, to benefit themselves, to represent their country? How are you supposed to overcome that when all of these people have been granted citizenship by the wave of a pen because Barack Obama hates white people? Like, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, we need not just to increase the things happening in the deportation front, we need to massively accelerate and expand them, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Trump has set a 7,500-person limit on the number of refugees entering the U.S. per year. The Trump administration is restricting the numbers of refugees admitted annually to the United States to 7,500, and they would mostly be white South Africans. A dramatic drop announced Thursday and effectively suspends America's traditional role as a haven for those fleeing war and persecution, or, you know, Mexico. Our traditional role as the dumping ground of the third world refuse, it's ending that long and storied tradition of being a welfare magnet for the incompetent around the world. Gosh, what will we do without millions upon millions of government dependents coming here and signing up for benefits? How will we survive? Whatever could we do? Again, good start. It's a very good start. Let's get into the... If we can move on now from the immigration, which I think we should. Let's get into not Arctic Frost. We'll get into that next hour, but... This is, I mean, I guess this is in line with all of this, but apparently the deployment of military in American cities is increasing. National Guard members train for civil unrest missions in U.S. cities. The Pentagon has ordered thousands of specialized National Guard personnel to complete civil unrest mission training over the next several months, an indication that the Trump administration's effort to send uniformed military forces into urban centers, once reserved for extraordinary emergencies, could become the norm. Well, the problem is the new normal is an emergency. The emergency is that the traitorous Biden administration opened up our border for 4 years, and there are probably 50 to 60 million illegal immigrants in this country that refuse to leave. That is an emergency. It's almost like the emergency has become so huge and they're so desperate to normalize the emergency conditions that they don't recognize that we're in an emergency. The emergency is so overwhelming that, like, they can't even see it. The fact that there are 40 to 50 to 60 to 100, I mean, we don't even know how many millions of illegal immigrants are in this country, but we do know that when they're asked politely to leave, they'll fight the ICE officers and try to shoot them. So that's an emergency, folks. It's not just an emergency. That's like a state of war. That's an invasion that we're now having to deploy forces to contend with. You didn't want that to happen. You shouldn't have sent in the invasion force, you dummies. I don't like this either. I don't want this either. I do worry that Trump is not going far enough, that he's not handling this aggressively enough, that this is going to be a weapon system that will be deployed against the American people if Trump and his administration don't do what's necessary in the next couple of months, to be honest with you. We don't have that long. And if the Democrats are able to get back in power, then we are just A, pissing them off, B, building a weapon system for them. So if we deploy the weapon system and we defeat them and demoralize and disenfranchise them to the point that they can't gain power anymore, then fantastic. I'm all for it. But that requires complete commitment, not the half-assed glad-handing that we've seen so far from the Trump administration. The Defense Department's newly established Quick Reaction Force within the National Guard must be trained, equipped with riot control gear, and ready for deployment by January 1st, according to internal documents reviewed by the Washington Post. The 200 troops will be drawn from the National Guard personnel, whose primary focus is responding to disasters like nuclear accidents and terrorist attacks, the document said. An existing but separate but similar structure, the National Guard Reaction Force, is expected to complete civil unrest training and be fully operational by April 1st. The total size of the force will be 23,500 troops across all 50 states and three territories, excluding the District of Columbia, documents say. So, I mean, if you're going to do this, I think that might even be a little small. I mean, we have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of soldiers at bases all over the world doing absolutely nothing for the American people or benefiting American interest in any way. Meanwhile, we've got Portland police actually working against ICE and helping out Antifa as they, you know, continue their siege there. We have this from Postmillennial: surround the White House. Far left group refuse fascism, planned siege of D.C. government buildings. Again, I'm not particularly worried about this, but if we are to subject them to the same standard we were subjected to, they are all writing their own death warrant here. They're all writing their own subscription to the Prison Monthly magazine, right? These people need to be sent to jail if we're to have any, you know, consistency in law and order around here. A coalition of far-left activists is planning an insurrection in Washington, D.C. on November 5th, calling for millions of Americans to surround federal buildings and refuse to disperse until President Trump is removed from power. Oh, interesting. So not a protest then. So not a protest, not a, you know, laying out of grievances, petition of redress of grievances, no such thing. This is, I believe the dictionary definition would be terrorism. That's what that would be. You're going to surround federal buildings and demand political action like the country's your hostage? Hey, here's the good news. We don't have to wait. They're apparently announcing this and planning it. Why don't we do something about that? Why don't we not wait until it actually happens and it all gets chaotic and insane? Why don't you pay a visit to these people just like you did with Jeremy Brown? Why don't you go knock on their doors and let them know what they're engaged in so they can choose not to make this mistake? How about we act like a sovereign country that's actually concerned about the insurrectionist forces that are currently plotting their, you know, strategic deployment as we speak and in the open? How about we use all of the power that all of us regular people have worked endlessly to deliver to the Republicans? How about they use that power to secure our country from these insane scumbags? How about we do that for once? Can we do that, please, for the love of God? I know you spent the last 12 years spying on InfoWars. I know they've spent the last several decades systematically deploying intelligence assets against conservative activists. Can we get just like a modicum of that from our side? Can we get just like the bare minimum? Because while we at InfoWars do nothing but tell the truth, do nothing but lead peaceful marches and make hilarious memes, we're the ones that have been subjected to surveillance and oppression for the last several decades, while these people are openly planning a literal insurrection and nothing is being done for them. I don't want peaceful, but I do want the actual violent scumbags that are running this crap to be hauled away to prison for the rest of their lives. Is that too much to ask? Is it? I got a lot more to ask, but that would be the bare minimum. I think that would be the bare minimum we could achieve to actually sustain our control in this country. Somebody the other day was saying, you know, somebody said, you know, it's like we don't control the White House. And somebody else said, well, if Republicans have the Senate, the Congress, and the White House, and they're not in control, who is? And it's like, well, great question. Really great question. Maybe we'll answer that in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus. It is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12, and this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
That man, the back computer, picked up a transmission from Alex Jones. and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be ultramethylene red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultramethylene red.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance.